This is Current Sports from AM 870 WKAR. This program content is made possible in part by WKAR listeners.
From WKAR at Michigan State University, this is Current Sports with Al Martin.
Johnny Peralta lines one to right field for a base hit.
Miguel Cabrera, game-winning walk-off home run.
The champagne is flowing in the Tigers clubhouse.
I would have never, ever thought that I would have been in the Michigan Hall of Fame as a kid when I first picked up a basketball on 512 Gray Street in Flint, Michigan.
Thomas drives from the left side, goes up and banks it in. Jasmine Thomas.
Just the joy you get from watching it, like a JV wrestler. Getting his first match ever. That makes it worthwhile as a coach.
It's a fake. Bates is going to throw. Touchdown! Michigan State wins it in overtime.
Welcome to the show. You are listening to WKAR East Lansing and WKAR FM HD3 East Lansing. Happy Wednesday, everyone, or as we call it back in Detroit, Hump Day. Because after this, only two more days until Memorial Day weekend. That's right, it's week two of Current Sports with me, Al Martin. Hope you guys are having a productive week so far. On today's episode, we'll talk the Tigers chalking up another win, a powerhouse in the world of softball, takes home another title, and we'll talk about fried chicken. Don't worry, I'll explain all of that and so much more coming your way. And ladies and gents, as many of you know, we are dedicating this week to the state of boxing and digging into why its popularity has dwindled over the years. We've had some incredible guests this week, and the party continues today. So are you guys ready to start this thing? Current Sports starts right now. Welcome to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. Shout out to everyone out there who has been listening and tuning in to your radios every day to Current Sports right here on WKAR AM 870. I want to remind you all that you can be a part of the hands-on discussion each and every day simply by following me on Twitter at Al Martin WKAR, liking Current Sports on Facebook.com/Current Sports, or even by emailing me, almartin@wkar.org. Now, during our caller portion of the show, you can tweet, Facebook, email your thoughts or questions. If you're driving, don't worry about it. I had a listener tell me they were tweeting me the other day a question. Don't do that, man. Hey, we know you love the show, but we don't want you to get into an accident. Appreciate the effort, though. Now, the state of boxing in today's world of sports, that's the topic we've been focusing on this week on Current Sports, and we've had some pretty great guests join us on the show to talk about this topic. Now, last week, Friday, we kicked off things with local boxing trainer at Crown Boxing in Lansing, Coach Ali Easley, who discussed the importance of the youth involvement in boxing. On Monday, we talked with Matt Torres, lead trainer at East Lansing Underground Martial Arts, and he talked about the competition between boxing and MMA today. Really an interesting feud there. Then yesterday, we talked with legendary boxing ref and judge Frank Garza, who gave us insight into the well-documented politics in boxing. Now we bring another field. Another local feel, that is, to the discussion. Bob Every. He's a man whose name is ingrained into the Lansing sports culture left and right. Now, many of you may know him from his great work as the softball coach over at Lansing Community College, where he ended up leading the Lady Stars to a national title. Now, Every was the Lansing Community College. He was there for 39 years. He now coaches Michigan State's club softball team, who just took a trip to the World Series. Now, this resume is quite impressive, ladies and gents. He also served as a boxing trainer in the area, and look at this. Michigan Golden Gloves Hall of Fame, inducted in 2009. Greater Lansing Sports Hall of Fame, inducted in 1994. United States Olympic Boxing Trials in 68. USA Boxing Team in 67. The Michigan AAU Boxing Champion 3 years straight in 67, 68, and 69. And Michigan Golden Gloves Champion in 1966, 67, 68, and 69. That's right, 4 times. Unbelievable. And he was also inducted into the 2011 National Softball Association Hall of Fame. I mean, he is a jack of all trades, or should I say, of every trade. Bob Every, welcome to Current Sports. Glad to have you, man.
Geez, thanks for having me on. It's quite a buildup. I hope I can live up to it.
Bob, I'm out of breath just with that whole introduction, man. I am unbelievable stuff, man. Now, Bob, you've had your hands on so many aspects in the world of sports. Specifically boxing. How did you get involved with boxing, man?
Well, I guess my father was very interested in boxing, and his enthusiasm for the sport of boxing really is what fueled my interest. I wanted to do what pleased my father, and I knew he was a huge boxing fan, so I gravitated to the Friday night fights. I'd come home from the shows with my siblings, and my dad would be sitting in a lazy chair watching boxing, drinking a beer, I guess that's how I got started, Al. I just liked the aspect that it's a one-on-one sport. If you do well, you get all the praise. If you don't do well, you blame yourself, and that kind of appealed to me, I think. And while I've done a lot of other team sports, boxing was the one that I think that I excelled at as a youngster more so than the other ones, and then it just kept perpetuating itself and fueling itself. And then once I got out of my boxing days, I just wanted to stay involved. So that's basically in a nutshell how it all got started.
Without that, and you were very good at it, of course, as I just stated. I mean, Michigan AAU boxing champion for 3 years straight, Michigan Golden Gloves champion for 4 years straight. I mean, what fueled your success in the area of boxing?
Well, I mean, I think the reason that I did well in those tournaments is because I wanted to do well, and I was willing to pay the price to do well. I mean, anybody that is going to be successful in anything in life has to commit themselves to being successful at whatever it is they want.
Right.
You can't kind of stumble your way through it. So I fortunately had good coaches, and they taught me the value of work ethics and dedication and determination and all of the other things that you need in life to be successful. And I just applied that the best I could. You know, obviously there's you stumble your toes when you're going from point A to point B, and you have to pick yourself up on occasion and dust yourself off. But the main thing is you have to have somebody there that is prepared to help you walk through the steps of difficulties in your life. Mm-hmm. And fortunately, I had that. My mother and father divorced when I was fairly young. And Al, I've been raised, the man figures in my life have been basically my ex-coaches. And I just feel like I've been fortunate enough to have great coaches that taught me the difference between right and wrong and work ethics. And you parlay all that stuff into one big ball, and you come out having a pretty good perspective about who you are as a human being.
Now, Bob, unbelievable message, man. Now, as I just stated, you were inducted into the Michigan Golden Gloves Hall of Fame in 2009, the Greater Lansing Sports Hall of Fame in 1994, and the 2011 National Softball Association Hall of Fame. When you look at those three areas, truly remarkable. What are you the most proud of out of those three?
Well, I'm proud of all of them because I think they all took a lot of perseverance and dedication, hard work, and luck to be recognized by people who are your peers and coaches and all the other things that go along with that. So, I can't really, Al, put one over the other. I'm just fortunate enough that I worked hard enough at the three things that somebody saw the value in my work ethic and said, you know what, we need to recognize this and bring him into the Hall of Fame. And that's something that's just unbelievable. Each ceremony that I attended, while being a little bit different, was a little bit associated with some of the same emotions that go along with being brought in under those types of fraternities. But I'm not gonna put one over the other. I love them all, boy. And I tell you, it's quite a feeling to be standing up front and thanking people for everything they've done for you in your career that helped you get where you struggled for so many years of your life to get.
Right.
And to finally make it.
Exactly. Truly remarkable. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Bob Every, a legend in the area in boxing and softball. Truly a pleasure to have you on, Bob. Now, I got to ask you this, man. Now, the reason why we put together this series this week is to really get to the root problem of why boxing is dwindling in popularity. Right now, when you look at the sport of boxing and how it's evolved over time, what are some aspects that disappoint you?
Well, there are a lot of activities out there for people to do. There are a lot of alternatives. I always kind of felt boxing was the sweet science, and it was certainly a way that a kid could get involved in a sport that afforded him a lot of good things that could happen to him. And again, you know, it's being involved in a sport where you're involved with other people in that sport. So there's a certain amount of camaraderie. It was nice to be able to work hard enough that you achieved something, so you understood that, you know, anything good that happens to me in my life is a direct result of the actions that I take to get there. Mm-hmm. And, you know, I mean, it's like playing football. It's like playing basketball, like any other sport. It's the positive things that happen to you that I think drives you to do it and want to stay involved in it. And then, you know, you reach a point, Al, in your life where you can't do the same things as a player that you could today, that you could when you were, like, in your 20s and so. So then what's the next best alternative? The next best alternative in my mind is to coach, is to take kids who show interest in the things that you're good at doing or you were good at doing, and then try to teach them so they have the same opportunity to learn and to grow and to be a part and a productive part of our society that hopefully I am as an adult. And, you know, it's just, you do this, somebody did it for you, so you do it for somebody else, and then down the road they'll do it for somebody else.
Right.
And that's really what keeps a community growing, I think. Lansing, as you know, is a tremendous sports community.
Definitely.
And this community, is the straw that stirs the drink in this community is obviously Michigan State Athletics.
Right.
And when you've got guys like Tom Izzo and Susie Merchant and Mark D'Antonio and Mark Hollis and all those people at the university level that work so hard each and every day to make sure that Michigan State stands out not only athletically but academically, it influences the community that we live in. And the byproduct of that influence is people like Jordan Weaver, who excel in the Olympics at such an early age, and the people that are even younger than Jordan that are coming up being influenced by the growth that goes on in a community like Lansing. And who could not want to live in this area? It's a great area to live in. But
right.
That may have been somewhat of an abstract answer for you, but, you know, it worked.
It worked. That's certainly, I mean, it's one of the biggest reasons. I always say when people ask me, you know, about the Lansing market, I mean, and we talk about sports in that regard, I always say I'm truly blessed to be in the Lansing market because, like you said, I mean, you get the best of all worlds. That's what I tell people. I get to cover, you know, college sports. You know, you get to cover high school sports that are so ingrained in the culture here in Lansing, and even the pros sometimes. Yeah. You know what I mean? So I love it here, Bob. Yeah. And, you know, it's truly a blessing, man. I also got to ask you, we got a question from a caller, actually.
Okay, good.
And they want to ask you, whatever happened with boxing at the old Civic Center?
Well, this boxing at the Civic Center was Golden Gloves competition, and that used to be handled by a group called the Shriners, the Caravan Youth Center Club out of Lansing, Michigan. And, you know, what comes around goes around, and what goes around comes around. And boxing, it's kind of dwindled up in the area, and I'm not really quite sure why. Probably because of so many other activities out there for kids to get involved in.
Mm-hmm.
And let's face it, two of the more difficult activities to be involved in, which take really a lot of personal sacrifice and physical pounding is wrestling and boxing. So
right.
With all the other things to do, I think maybe it just kind of lost its flair and its spirit here in the mid-Michigan area. But now you mentioned Crown a little while ago.
Yeah, yeah.
Crown is actually, you know, the gym that I started back in 1976 is when we first got started. And we are the longest-running continuous boxing gym in the state of Michigan. And Aaron
wow.
Easley, Aaron Easley is my head coach, and I trust Aaron to open up the doors and to bring the kids in off the street that want to come in to learn how to box, not only learn how to box, but be taught other areas of positive things that will help them in their lives. And, you need these types of groups and these types of activities. Now, we do the boxing because the boxing does appeal to certain people. But there are other groups out there. You got gymnastics groups, you got soccer groups, you got baseball groups. So we're doing our part, I think, down at Crown Boxing Club to say, hey, this is our community. We're involved in our community. We believe in our community. And these are the things that I know that we can do well to give back to our community.
Right.
Now, as to why boxing kind of is on the downside, at least in this area, I really don't know, Al. I honestly don't know, other than to say that, you know, there's so many more things for kids to do these days that you really have to vie for their attention.
Right.
And a sport like boxing or even wrestling is so demanding emotionally and mentally and physically that a lot of kids probably just don't want to compete at that level.
And that's what I got to ask you, because you talked about the youth a lot. And I want to ask you, do you see a disconnect somewhere when it concerns the interest of the sport of boxing in the youth?
A disconnect, you said?
Yeah, disconnect. Yeah, are they interested in boxing?
I don't know. I mean, I know that when I boxed, and I boxed as an amateur 10 years, I had a chance to go pro, but chose not to. I wanted to be the first person in my family to receive a college degree. I've done that, and plus some, and so my focus shifted. You know, I really, it's a hard question to ask, answer as to why kids do or don't do something this day and age. I can only, I guess, attribute it to, you know, how tough is it on a kid, and how physically hard will this kid be willing to fight to be a part of something? And, you know, maybe he has an interest in another area that it isn't quite as demanding as wrestling or boxing, and that floats its boat. I'm not saying boxing is right for everybody, because it certainly isn't.
Right.
But we just want to make sure, when I say we, Crown, our boxing club, we want to make sure that if a parent drops their son or daughter now off to our facility, that they can be assured that they're going to get the best care and attention that we can possibly give them. And by having Aaron Easley as my head coach down there, I think Aaron is an intelligent man.
Done a great job.
Yes, he's done a great job. He's a hard worker. And when I walk out of that gym, or I walk in that gym, either one, I can count on everything being done the right way as long as Aaron Easley is there. So whether or not the kid goes on and becomes, an Olympian or boxes on a USA team is irrelevant, I think, in my mind, as long as he's getting attention enough to show him that through your hard work, your continued hard work, good things will happen to you in your life. Just keep going. And like Jimmy Valvano says, whatever your dream is, don't give up. Don't ever give up.
That's right.
And good things will happen.
Love that. One of my favorite quotes in sports. Ladies and gentlemen, we're talking with Bob Every, a legend in the game of boxing and softball. Truly a pleasure to have him in Lansing. He's truly a gem, guys. Now, I got to ask you this, man. Now, how do you go about promoting the boxing brand when, one, you don't see it on television like you used to back in the day? I mean, you can watch a boxing fight on local television now. And also, two, the only mainstream names you hear are Floyd Mayweather and Manny Pacquiao. I mean, how do you go about promoting the boxing brand if you know, you're facing these hurdles like that?
Well, I had two, you know, I mean, I've had several guys that I've worked world championships for, but I actually started from scratch working with a guy named Roger Stingray Turner, who fought Felix Trinidad for the World Welterweight Championship, and then Joe Sledgehammer Lipsy, who fought Bernard Hopkins for the Middleweight Championship of the World. So we started from day one at the fledgling level and trained them all the way up to the level where they could fight for a legitimate world championship. And you promote by having local kids, and you promote them in a local community. Now, Lansing is a sports town. I mean, we're a town for all things. Actually, when you consider we're the state capital, we have a lot of state workers here. We have a major law school here. We have a major university, a good community college. So there's a lot of things to do here in Lansing, but basically, if you've got a person like a Jordan Weber that you think has the ability to take it to the ultimate level, you as a person living in this community, and you have the means to do it, need to make sure that that person gets every training that they can to realize their dream. So you start out by associating yourself with people like yourself. You know, you're on radio, you have a nice program, and, you know, if I can get on Al Martin's program a couple times, year or something like that,
right,
I can get my word out. If I have a good relationship with the Lansing State Journal and I know a reporter down there and I'm honest with them and I give them the correct and decent information that they're asking for when they talk to me, then I get consideration.
Exactly.
So you basically, what you do is you market. You market people that are in the business to promote you or your athlete, and you start there. And then in our case with Joe Lipsy, back when they had the Tuesday night fights, Bill Kaczorski, who ran the Palace, had a real nice deal down there. He had USA Television come in about eight times a year,
right.
And he liked Joe Lipsy. So I worked out a contractual agreement with Bill Kaczorski at the Palace, who then had this contract with USA, and they would get Joe Lipsy on like six of the eight televised events that they would have out of the Palace a year, and six of them would be main events. So, I mean, there's all sorts of ways to endear yourself to guys in the media and people who can push your fighter or your product forward, and that's what you do. You know, you be decent to people. When somebody comes up and they ask you something, you give them an honest answer. I mean, some of these athletes out there, they just don't get it, you know.
Right.
They're jackasses, you know.
Right.
Pardon my expression. They just don't get it.
Right, right.
Be good to people, you know, and they'll be good to you. And they might be in a position where they can be good enough to really help you promote somebody. And listen, it's all about winning. I don't care what anybody says.
You know, I like to hear that. Yeah, exactly.
It's all about winning. I mean, you can philosophically sit back and say it's about this, it's about that. But let me tell you something. You can be the nicest person, and you can be the nicest coach in the world, and you can have the nicest team in the world, and if they don't win a game, nobody's going to go out and watch you.
Right.
You know,
true.
You know, so winning is, and we didn't invent that. You know, that's not something I invented. I'm forced to play by those rules. So any team I take over, all I ask for is I want to have the same conditions that anybody else has that I'm competing against. And if I don't win, then get rid of me and get somebody in here that can, because I'm not doing my job right.
Exactly. Ladies and gentlemen, Bob Every, a legend in boxing and softball and just in the sports world, period, man. Unbelievable message right there. Totally agree with you, man, because, I mean, that's just the nature of sports. You're competing to win. You're not going out there expecting to lose. You're competing. You're trying to win everything you're involved in, man. So I got to tell you this, man. Now, MMA is also has been another component of boxing, because it's kind of competing with boxing now as far as popularity goes. Do you see MMA possibly surpassing boxing in popularity in a foreseeable future at all?
Well, you know, the thing about our society is it is a conscious society, and I think when you look at MMA, it's it's brutally blunt, and you know, I mean,
great way to put it.
it's kind of like the old tough man contest. I think maybe that kicked off the MMA the program or standard. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I think the thing that MMA lacks, at least to the naked fan's eye, is a system of how it progresses forward. Boxing. Yeah, he throws a right hand, he throws a jab, he blocks it, he parries that, you know. MMA, I don't know if the interest will be there long enough that people will get to really know how artful of a sport it is. And I don't know. I mean, I'm a big boxing guy, so I'm as close to understanding all sorts of physical arts like MMA and boxing and wrestling as I think you can get. And I still don't know if I understand it completely. However, I think a person has the right to participate in that if they want to do that. I mean, I don't think we as a society should tell somebody of our society what's better for us, that they think that they know what's better for us more than we do. I think there are special cases that plays into, but I don't want anybody to tell Bob Every that you can't box because it's not a safe sport. You know, I mean, I live in a country that's the best country in the world. You know, we die for our beliefs, and by God, I think that we have the right to pick and choose to a point what we think is best for us, whether other people believe it's best for us or not.
Without a doubt, Bob Every, legend in the area of boxing and softball. Now, Bob, let's get onto the softball aspect of things. Now, talk about your love for softball. Where did it come about? And just talk about, you know, just your impact in that area.
Well, I wanted to be like every other kid that came down the tube. I wanted to be a Major League Baseball player. I was good enough to get looked at by the Pirates, but I wasn't good enough to cut the mustard. And I played baseball, but I had a neighbor, a good friend of mine, Bruce Miller, who was one of the better softball players in the country at the time. He played in two Pan American Games, was a two-time All-American, played on a national championship team, played on a USA World Championship team. he tried to convince me to get involved in playing fast pitch softball, which I had a little bit of experience at in my small town of St. John's when all these small towns had leagues.
Right.
So I got involved in that, and, you know, it was my idea that I was probably going to have a couple sons, and, you know, they were going to play baseball, and they were going to box and all this and all that. Well, guess what? My little wife threw a curveball at me. We had two daughters. I said, well, you know, boxing for them probably doesn't fit the bill because it was
right.
back in a time when it was sociably unacceptable for women to box. It's not that way anymore.
Right.
And but it wasn't unacceptable for them given the Title IX, which happened back in 72 or something, where girls could play softball, which is closely associated with baseball. So my kids were, you know, I played rec baseball for years, and my kids grew up at the ballpark, and so they took an interest in softball. And when they did that, I thought, well, you know what, I need to realign my values of sports out a little bit, and I need to start spending more time with my kids. And I thought that softball was something that I could teach them how to be good at, and consequently, I just reshifted some, experiences of not being a coach anymore down at the gym. I gave that to, you know, I brought in guys like Aaron Easley to help me out, and then I started gravitating towards coaching my daughters. Well, then you get into a travel team, and then you know what? They get too old and they move on, and then you wonder, do I have the same passion to coach somebody else's kids that I do my own kids? And the answer, quite frankly, was yes, I do. So that's how I got involved in softball. I just started playing it, took an interest in it, you know. And when you get done doing these things as an athlete, Al, you can't just walk away from it. At least I couldn't. I had to stay involved. So the best way for me to stay involved was to coach other people.
Without a doubt, man. Now, you coached at Lansing Community College, their softball team, for 39 years, man.
Yeah.
But they're quite a long time.
Well, I was there as an employee for just about 39 years.
Right.
And I was a softball coach. They instituted the program back into effect in 2000, and I was the head coach. I could have taken the softball job or the baseball job, but because I had daughters and my experience of coaching girls over the last several years prior to that was a good one, I thought, well, I'll do the softball. That sounds like a real challenge. And then we did. We put one of the very best products in junior college softball on the field. I had a chance to coach my daughters, and lo and behold, when I got out of there, just about everybody I coached, I looked at as basically my daughter. You know, I mean, their parents, they bring them down, and I don't care whether they're local or they come from 200 miles away, or in some cases where girls came from California, Arizona, and Florida, you know, they're there, and you're responsible for those kids. And don't think their parents don't think that.
Right.
So you really take on that responsibility, and because you take on that responsibility, there's all sorts of emotions that are wrapped up into it, and those types of emotions become the same type of emotions that a father displays with a daughter. And many of these girls, I hope they looked at me as a father figure. And I certainly looked at them as a daughter that needed to be taken care of and guided, and that's what I tried to do. And oh, by the way, we played some softball along the way. They got a chance to grow through softball. And, and I thank Lansing Community College for giving me the opportunity to be their softball coach and to be there for 38 years. That's a great institution.
Right.
Now, that being said and done, great institutions are never fully free of, of controversy.
Right, and that's what I wanted to do, man. Now, I mean, like I said, your 39 career there, tenure at Lansing Community College, was a bit sudden and a bit ugly to many people, man. I want to give you an open forum for anyone out there listening. Just speak what's on your mind, Bob.
Well, you know, I mean, it doesn't do me any good to sit here and bash anybody, because I think it sounds like sour grapes when I do it. But, I was obviously very disappointed. I viewed Lansing Community College as my home, really. I mean, I love the people there. What Phil Gannon started and perpetuated and kept going until he retired and then other people picked up. It's really a great institution for people who want who can't afford maybe to go someplace else, or who want to stay close to home, or maybe who want to specialize in education. I think just like any other institution, you get people in there sometimes, and their goals are to make changes and do things that personally benefit them, as opposed to maybe benefiting the scholar person there. I mean, so, but mm-hmm. I I'm happy. I was happy I was there. I'm disappointed that I left it the way I left. I think that, over the long run, this will all play out, and the people that were involved in my my dismissal will long gone be since they'll be long gone before probably all gets taken care of. But again, you know, the more I hoot and holler about it, the more people probably think, well, it's just sour grapes. And you're right, it is sour grapes.
Right.
You know, you put 38 years into an institution, and you're literally loyal to the philosophy of treating kids the way the institution wants you to treat kids, and then all of a sudden somebody rips the rug off underneath your foot. It's hard to get over. And it's hard on me, but it's even worse on my family. You know, it's been hard on my wife and my children, and you know, it's just whatever, though. But I think that there's enough good people in this community, and I've lived here all my life, and I'm not going anywhere, unlike some of the people that caused all this. You know, I think Lansing Community College is just a stepping stone for them, and they'll be moving on. I'm going to be here probably until the day I die, and I'm going to continue to work hard for this community because I believe in this community. And you know, I'll just let everybody decide in the end really what kind of a person Bob Every was, and did he give more than he took? And if they can say that I did that, then I can look myself in the mirror every day, Al, and say, I'm happy about that.
Well, Bob, I want to tell you, you've done an outstanding job throughout your career, and also with the MSU club softball team, their run to the World Series. I mean, unbelievable. I just want to say thank you so much for being on the show. Unbelievable, and keep doing what you're doing, man. And also, a lot of people don't know, you're the head of the Lansing Sports Hall of Fame. I'm taking a visit there on Thursday. This conversation is truly not done. I'll see you Thursday, bud. How about that?
Thanks, Al. I appreciate giving me the forum to talk about so many things that are near and dear to my heart, and look forward to seeing you tomorrow.
Thanks so much. There you have it. Bob Every, Michigan Golden Gloves champion for several years, inducted into the Michigan Golden Gloves Hall of Fame, and also the head of the Lansing Sports Hall of Fame. Unbelievable. Great to have him on the show. Well, when we return to current sports, we'll dive into our current sports section of the show. And I want to let you all know that we are taking your calls at 140. Don't hesitate to pick up that phone and dial 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Let us hear your thoughts on the state of boxing today or any of today's topics. We want to hear your thoughts. Stay tuned. More current sports is next.
Captivated by my own, I be in the zone. Microphone checking, ain't no time for resting. I keep them guessing, learn a lesson to those that oppose. I keep them stressing.
President Obama offers federal aid and support to tornado victims. The immigration bill navigates its way through Congress. Rand Paul gives money to the New Hampshire GOP. And IRS officials testify before the Senate Finance Committee. I'm Jennifer Ludden. Political junkie Ken Rudin joins us next Talk of the Nation from NPR News.
That's Talk of the Nation coming up at 2 p.m.
Now we're amping up the games. Now we're talking protect your home court. The Spartan brass is embedded right into the heart of the ism, so they're part of the ism. I'm Jan Madden, the director of the Spartan Marching Band, the associate director of bands at MSU. You're listening to WKAR Radio.
Yeah, you guys know that song. Hey, good people, welcome back to Current Sports. I'm your host, Al Martin. It's now time for Current Sports, giving you all the sporting news concerning the good people of Mid-Michigan. We'll get to the Lugnuts. They have been on one incredible streak. But first, let's talk about the Tigers. The Tigers last night, unbelievable, man. They're in this AL Central battle with the Indians, of course. They're involved in a two-game series, very short series. Game one was yesterday, and boy, Tigers win another one, guys. Max Scherzer Yes, he was great last night. He retired 22 straight after giving up two hits and a run in the first. And Miguel Cabrera, yeah, he just keeps on trucking on. Hit a two-run homer, leading Detroit to a 5-1 win over Cleveland yesterday, stopping the Indians' winning streak at 5 and nipping at that AL Central lead right now. So Scherzer is now 6-0. He has been in the zone, walking just 1 and striking out 7 last night. Now Cabrera, like I said, he had a laser shot in the 6th inning, his 12th homer and 4th in 2 games. And you got to mention Andy Dierks too. Andy Dierks has been pretty consistent these past few weeks. He had a solo homer in the 6th and had 2 RBIs. Now the Indians are still dangerous, however, since April 28th, the team has won 18 of 23 games. We got Justin Verlander, he hits the mound tonight for the 2nd game of this short series, and Ubaldo Jimenez will take the mound for the Indians. Now, like I said, the Indians are pretty dangerous, but this would be great if the Tigers can win another one and kind of nip at that lead a little bit more. So we'll see what they do. And also, got to tell you guys that Leland said that outfielder Austin Jackson, who had a pulled left hamstring, will likely go to a minor league rehab assignment before he comes off the disabled list. So Jackson has been on the DL since May 12th. Now, during that game, there was a moment when the NBA draft lottery was going on. Now, of course, the NBA draft lottery, I mean, anybody can win this thing. I mean, that's why I love it. It kind of makes it entertaining. So, during the Tigers game, the Cleveland crowd cheered. And you know why they were cheering? Well, just listen.
Brad Beal here representing the Washington Wizards, who had the number one selection in 2010, John Wall. Hey, Nick Gilbert back again trying to do what he did in 2011 when they selected Kyrie Irving and Orlando. Pat Williams, their vice president, 3 times he's already taken home the number one pick for that franchise. And joining us once again to announce the order of the top 3 picks, NBA Deputy Commissioner Adam Silver. Adam.
Thanks again, Mark. The 3rd pick in this year's draft goes to the Washington Wizards. The 2nd pick will be made by the Orlando Magic. Yes! And that means the number 1 pick in the 2013 NBA draft goes to the Cleveland Cavaliers.
Yes, the Cleveland Cavaliers have won the NBA draft lottery for the 2nd time. Get this, the 2nd time in 3 years. I mean, goodness, man. The only question I have is when the heck are they going to start producing? That's the only question I have. But yes, I guess those bow ties that Dan Gilbert, the Cleveland owner, was wearing last night. He was also there with his 16-year-old son. They both were rocking bow ties. That luck carried off. Maybe some luck in those bow ties, man. But we'll see what happens, man. Yes, the Orlando Magic, they fell back to 1 spot to number 2. And the Washington Wizards vaulted from the 8th spot to 3rd. Unbelievable, man. So the potential number 1 pick this year, Kentucky freshman Nerlens Noel. Now, he is no LeBron James, but he could be a nice addition for the Cavs. He's recovering from that torn ACL injury. And guards Ben McLemore of Kansas, Trey Burke of Michigan, of course, the College Player of the Year, for goodness sake, and Georgetown forward Otto Porter Jr., they are considered top available players. So the Detroit Pistons will select 8th. They got the 8th spot. Something interesting that Joe Dumars said last night was that there are no franchise changers in this draft. Now, I may have to agree with him on that. Maybe Trey Burke. You know, Trey Burke is something else. Victor Oladipo, I think he's an unbelievable defensive guard, but offensively he still needs some work. So we'll see what happens, though, man. There's really no standouts to say, oh, yeah, he's declared number 1. As I said, right now it's predicted that Nerlens Noel will be the number 1 pick this year, but he is recovering from that torn ACL. And you know how it is when athletes recover from ACLs, especially in basketball. They labor on it. So we'll see what happens, though. So, yes, the Pistons will select 8th. Talks that they possibly could get Cody Zeller. I don't know. They already have Greg Monroe. I wouldn't risk that giving up. Now, there's talk that they might trade Greg Monroe to get Cody Zeller. I don't know about that, guys. I think Greg Monroe is a consistent player. He's been a consistent player. And you don't know what you're getting with Cody Zeller yet. He's still, you know, he's going to be a rookie in the NBA. You don't know how well he'll produce. So I don't know if I agree with that move. So we'll see. And also, other news with the Pistons. Maurice Cheeks, that's right, the Oklahoma City Thunder assistant coach and former head coach of the Philadelphia 76ers and Portland Trail Blazers. He will have a second interview with the Pistons today. That's right. Maurice Cheeks, and history has shown, you know, when the Pistons invite you twice, that's nice. We'll see if Maurice Cheeks will be that man for the Pistons, but, you know, only time will tell. And also NBA action last night, Memphis Grizzlies over the San Antonio Spurs. Well, not over the San Antonio Spurs, the Memphis Grizzlies and the San Antonio Spurs, excuse me. The Spurs take a two-game lead over the Memphis Grizzlies in the Western Conference Finals. Tony Parker, unbelievable last night. This guy, he's old but still producing. Him and Tim Duncan. Tim Duncan was great last night. Parker had 15 points and a career playoff high 18 assists. Truly remarkable. Anybody who saw that game last night, I was sitting there like, this guy. Now, his shooting was terrible. His shooting was horrid. I mean, he couldn't hit anything. But he was creating shots for his teammates, and they were putting it in for him. Unbelievable performance by him. Now, I do got to address one thing, guys. If you watched that game last night, it went to overtime due to a controversial call, controversial flagrant foul by Spurs player Manu Ginobili on Tony Allen. Now, Tony Allen goes up for a layup. Ginobili grabs his arm, brings him down. I just thought it was a good, hard playoff foul. If that was the 80s, I keep going back to this, they would have just let it slide. Okay, go to the line for two buckets. And it was so, you know, it stuck out to me because Tony Allen goes up and he comes down after Ginobili fouls him. He doesn't hit his head at all. He kind of, you know, falls on his side. And he starts immediately grabbing his head like in thriving pain, like someone had just knocked him upside the head with a hammer. And he didn't even land on his head. A great acting job by him. The guy deserves an Oscar for it. But when I see stuff like that in today's basketball, it really upsets me. One, because the NBA, I believe, is judged soft, and they called it a flagrant, which I didn't think it was a flagrant. And then two, you got Tony Allen, you know, acting like, you know, it's like Halle Berry on the ground, just acting his butt off like he just got hit upside the head with a sledgehammer, man. So I hate seeing stuff like that, but that was the play that really pushed things into overtime. They were down by three at that point, so, and the free throws end up tying the game. So anyway, game three is Saturday in Memphis. Let's move on. Diamond Classic / Softball Classic. Eden Rapids wins their third consecutive high school softball classic and fourth in the past 5 years with a 10-0 five-inning mercy rule, two 10-0 five-inning mercy rule wins over Lakeland and Portland St. Pat's. Wow. Eden Rapids, congrats to you guys. They are truly a powerhouse. The Greyhounds are just something else. Oh my goodness, two mercy rules. Now Erin Binkowski is a big reason for that. She's the pitcher. She was named the most valuable player of the softball classic for the third consecutive year. She will be taking her talents to Western Michigan University. Congrats to her, man. And she allowed just three hits, striking out 10 batters in 10 innings in the semifinals and finals. Erin Binkowski, you are something else. All right, the Diamond Classic starts back up today at Kirchner Municipal Park. DeWitt will play Portland at 5:30, and Holt will play Bath at 7:30. Let's hope this rain holds off, guys, because it was looking ugly when I came into work this morning, but we'll see. And also the Lugnuts, we played the music coming back. The Lansing Lugnuts topped the Lake County Captains 8-5. Yesterday, they win their sixth straight game, and they also had a morning game against Lake County. I tried looking for the score. That was at 10:35 a.m. So I'm assuming the game is done. If you guys know the score, please let me know. I would love to know. But yeah, the Lansing Lugnuts kind of rolling right now. 8-5 yesterday, and Red Wings in action tomorrow against the Chicago Blackhawks. Game four, the Wings lead. That's right. They're making me look like a fool right now. I predicted the Blackhawks would win in five games, and the Wings now have a series lead of 2-1. Jimmy Howard is just playing unbelievable. We'll see if they continue that magic tomorrow. I also got to note the NCAA Golf Championships. Michigan State women's golf team shot a 10-over par on the 10-over par 298 in the first round of the NCAA Championships yesterday. They are currently tied for 12th place in the 2014 field. So we'll see if they can keep that up. Their outstanding star, Carolyn Powers, playing in her final
Collegiate Tournament. We got to get Carolyn on this show also. But she started her third NCAA championship with a 4-over-76, posting 2 birdies, 3 bogeys, and 4 pars on her first 9 holes. Then she finished with 6 pars and 3 bogeys on her back 9. So we'll see how the Michigan State women's golf team, they finished this tournament out. Now, I got to bring this up, guys. Garcia and the fried chicken remark about Tiger Woods. Have you heard this? But I got to play a clip for you. Now, Tiger Woods was asked if he has contacted Sergio Garcia concerning their feud in the PGA Players Championships. And Tiger had this response.
The thing with Sergio a couple weeks ago, too, a lot of people on the outside looking in, just it appeared so petty. Has there ever been any thought of just contacting him and just saying, hey, let's chill. We don't need to be going back and forth like this anymore.
No.
That's right. N-O. Real simple. Have you ever tried contacting Sergio? No. That's it. Boom. Done. In the grave. Now, yesterday, Sergio, this guy just won't shut up. I mean, he just keeps on talking and bickering. But anyway, you guys know, they engaged in a war of words going back to 2 weeks at the Player Championship, and it turned ugly Tuesday night with Garcia's admitted poor attempt at humor, which prompted a tweet from Tiger Woods. But Garcia jokingly answered a question at the European Tour Players Dinner Tuesday night about getting together with Woods at the U.S. Open. And now, if you guys know about the whole thing, when Tiger hit his ball in the woods, Garcia hit his in the fairway. Woods pulls out a fairway wood. The crowd goes nuts. Garcia hits his ball and blames it on Tiger Woods pulling out the club, and they're going crazy. So, like I said, Garcia jokingly answered a question at the European Tour Players Dinner Tuesday night. And he said, hey, would getting together with Woods at the Open. And he said, quote, we'll have him. We'll have him in every night. We'll serve fried chicken. Yeah, he said that, folks. I wish I was joking. I'm not even joking. He says, we'll have him around every night. We'll serve fried chicken. Now, Garcia issued a statement late Tuesday night apologizing for the remarks, then met with the media on Wednesday after his pro-am round at Wentworth, the site of this week's European Tour and the BMW PGA Championship, saying, quote, I want to apologize to Tiger and anybody that I could have offended. I feel sick about it. I'm truly sorry. And I hope we can kind of settle things down and hopefully move on, end quote. Got to be honest with you guys. I'm African-American, and hearing these comments from Garcia rubbed me the wrong way. They're clearly, if you guys know anything about fried chicken when it comes to African-Americans, it's a racial epithet, if you will. And, and him coming out and saying that about Tiger Woods, who, of course, is of African-American descent, was clearly, I don't care how many, you can't argue this. I don't care. You can argue with me left and right about this. It is clearly a racial comment. And really disappointing to see someone like Sergio, who is a pretty good, decent golfer, out in the public eye like this, to say something like this. Now, I want to put this out there. I don't think Sergio Garcia is a racist by any means. But were those comments racial? Yes. And I really believe, this is my heart, I believe that apology was just to cover his back, you know, with all the sponsorships that he has. This is one of those things. Sergio does not like Tiger. Tiger does not like Sergio, but Sergio won't shut up about it. And my advice to Sergio Garcia is just got to shut up and move on, man. And, anytime it goes to this limit where you're making racial remarks or a remark like of this magnitude and this tone, I mean, that's crossing the line. That makes it personal. And, this really hurts Garcia's perception out there to people who are fans of the game of golf and possibly fans of him, of himself. You know, it's real petty. So I really, with the whole apology, I just think he's just trying to smooth things out now. And a very, very poor attempt at humor. I don't think he's a racist, but yes, those comments were definitely racist. I want to hear your thoughts on this, though, guys. Give us a call. We're going to move on to our last segment of Current Sports. We're going to take your calls about any of the topics today. I really want to hear your thoughts on Tiger Woods and Garcia's feud right now and Garcia's comments. So give us a call at 517-355-9527. Again, 517-355-9527. Or hit me up on Facebook.com/Current Sports. Or even tweet me a question at Al Martin WKR. We want to hear from you. Stick around. More Current Sports is next.
On the next Fresh Air, we talk with Jennifer Gilmore. Her new novel, The Mothers, is based on the experiences she and her husband had trying to adopt a baby. They gave up on international adoption and pursued open adoption in the U.S., but ran into all kinds of obstacles as well as a scam or two. Join us.
That's Fresh Air coming up at 3 o'clock.
Seven days a week, Current State brings you the issues, personalities, and events making the heart of Mid-Michigan beat.
To be able to start a farmer's market takes time and energy, people power, and planning.
We change the notes, or we change the phrasing, or we change something for what might happen, and you can't really predict, and that's the beauty of jazz.
We are reinventing city government as we go along. It's like redesigning the airplane while in flight.
Current State, weekdays at 9 a.m. and 6 p.m. on 90.5 WKAR.
Welcome back to Current Sports. I'm Al Martin. It's that time when we hear from you. That's right. Give us a call at 517-355-9527. We'll talk about anything that's on your mind. I understand we do have a caller. OC Gaines, how you doing, man?
Al, what's up, sir? This is OC down in Atlanta.
Oh, yeah, definitely, definitely. What's up, bro?
Man, thank you for this awesome show. It's my first time listening. You're doing a great job. But I'm disappointed in this comment. I heard there was a racial comment. I ran to my computer, and the fried chicken thing to me is so lukewarm.
Right.
It's barely even racial. I think it's being blown out of proportion by the media.
Do you? I mean,
I really do.
Fried chicken is a really a direct, I mean, is historically been a direct, you know, stereotype of African Americans.
And that's exactly what it is. It's a loose stereotype that's about 1,000 years old. I'm not saying that people shouldn't be sensitive, but I think in this issue, it was an improper statement that was racial versus a specifically racist, angry, vicious statement. And I think that, you know, the Real Housewives of Atlanta syndrome, that reality syndrome is kind of taking over sports, where we want people in sports to have beef. They're both millionaires. One of them is a Spaniard. The other one's dating like a tall skier. They don't care about what we care about, so we shouldn't care about this small comment, in my humble opinion.
Right, right. First of all, I want to say thank you for calling, OC, and I want to say this. I don't think that Sergio Garcia by any means is a racist. Mm-hmm. Were those comments racial? I do think so. And I really think they, like you said, they didn't need to be said.
True.
But at the same time, you also got to look at the history between Sergio Garcia and Tiger Woods as well. I mean, they've had a history of going at each other, and Sergio he simply does not like Tiger Woods. And Tiger, I think, has really been classy in this situation because he hasn't barked back at anything Sergio has said. And then you get a comment like this, and then Tiger tweets like, you know, it's pretty hurtful, you know what I mean? But hey, but he didn't spark any attack back at Sergio. So it just really disappoints me to see a guy like Sergio Garcia, who I think is a very good golfer, you know, taking the low road and saying this comment.
True, but look at his history. He's been a millionaire since 1995. He was kind of a spoiled rich kid growing up in Spain. He was on a European circuit early. He doesn't know race like we know it in the States. So I'm not making an excuse for him. I think he's a jerk. I think he's, you know, all those words. But if you look at his history, what does he even know about racial stereotypes in America? So I think it's being blown out of proportion. I think it's been taken out of context. You know, he was at a European golfing event with no one black in the room.
Right.
So it is what it is. Are we supposed to attack him? No, but now we know how he talks when he thinks no one's listening. That's it.
Exactly, exactly. That's OC Gaines. Hey, OC, thanks for calling, brother. Appreciate it, man.
Go green, 06.
Thanks. That's OC Gaines, my frat brother back in the day, man, giving us a call. And I have in the room my production assistants, Alex Sharg and Matt Lutke. I want to talk about this more. What are your guys' thoughts on this whole Sergio Garcia fried chicken whole thing? Go ahead, guys.
Well, I think the biggest issue is that Sergio Garcia isn't really in a position to be joking about Tiger at all.
Right.
You know, they've already had all this, whether it's media fabrication of all this drama or not, you know, clearly they were making headlines last week. And now just to kind of add on to that, it just seems like he's digging a hole and he keeps digging himself deeper and deeper. And, you know, any kind of strategy he has to get himself out is obviously backfiring, because at this point, you know, Tiger can say nothing and leave Sergio twisting in the wind, and Sergio is the big idiot here. Tiger is, you know, it's almost smarter to say nothing. You don't engage it. He comes out looking like, you know, a saint, which is something Tiger Woods hasn't looked like in a few years. But, you know, now he's got the high road, and Sergio's just going to continue to dig himself a hole.
But the thing here is Tiger isn't saying nothing. If he said nothing, if he said next question, didn't answer it, that's fine. But I think that Tiger almost is dragging it out in a way as well, saying,
I don't know,
no,
about that.
You know, I don't want to apologize to him in any way. I you know, no straight answer, just very strict, stern answer. So I think he's even heating it up a little bit more.
We have Mark on line one. Mark, how you doing, man? Welcome to the show.
Well, how are you?
Good, good. How you doing, man?
I'm really trying to catch up with this. So I'm going to admit that I just jumped into the conversation before I say anything about your comment about Sergio saying something racial, but you don't think he's a racist. And then the caller's comment with respect to him not being sophisticated enough in American racism or stereotypes to be able to intentionally say something racist. I want to know. I heard about the comment. Do you know what he said, and do you know the context in which he said it?
Yes, I do. I can actually bring up the direct quote for you.
Okay.
Give me a sec here. Garcia jokingly answered a question at the European Tour Players' Dinner Tuesday night about getting together with Woods at the U.S. Open by saying, quote, "We'll have him around every night. We will serve fried chicken," end quote. And then it was laughter.
Wait. What was the first card before we would serve fried chicken? He'll say what?
We'll have him around every night. We will serve fried chicken.
All right. And how was that attached to Tiger?
Well, do you know the history between these two? As far as their, you know, their feud, quote unquote, goes. Tiger Woods and Garcia have. I mean, this dates back to when Sergio came in as a rookie. I mean, they've always bickered with one another. I mean, Sergio's made comments about, you know, Tiger not being a truthful guy. It kind of hit the eclipse during the Players' Championship last weekend when Tiger hit his ball in the woods, Sergio hit his in the fairway. Tiger just pulled out a club, and it aroused the crowd. They get amped up. Sergio said it messed with his shot and then had some comments for Tiger Woods afterwards. So they've had a history with this, Mark.
Yeah, but I'm just curious. Is the history what's supporting this comment to Tiger Woods? I just don't. In and of itself, beyond the history, I'm not necessarily convinced that he's talking about Tiger. But assuming that he is, I think you think he is.
Oh well this this quote is coming. They asked about Tiger Woods. With this whole feud, they asked about Tiger Woods saying. Are you and Woods going to get together and kind of hash this thing out and bury the hatch? And he said, yeah, we'll have him around every night. We'll serve him fried chicken. So he's directly talking about Tiger Woods.
Well, come on, man.
Yeah.
well, come on in.
My bad, man. My bad. I thought you got, okay.
Well,
yeah.
Yeah. Well, I context to me is everything.
Right.
And I don't know on what basis your caller from Atlanta concludes that he doesn't know enough about American racism to say something racist. He's not. That's blatantly racist.
Right, blatantly. That's
right.
What I said.
So I don't know where he's coming from. That's your comments as to why it's something racial, but you don't think he's a racist.
Nah.
What would he have to do to convince you that he's a racist?
I don't think he's a racist just simply because he's never had a history of this. I never heard Sergio not being cordial to other African American players on the tour or things of that nature. I don't know the man. So I don't. That's why I'm saying that I don't know the man personally, so I can't call him a racist. Was that comment racist? Yes, definitely.
All right. So when you say I don't think he's a racist, you just say I don't know if he is or not.
Right, right. Mark, I would love to continue. We're going to actually continue this discussion tomorrow, man. We got like 1 minute left, man. I definitely want to hear from you tomorrow, man, if you give me a call. I appreciate your call, but thank you, man. All right, ladies and gents. Well, we have to say goodbye. Yes, a really heated discussion. We're definitely going to pick this up where we left it today. Special thanks to everyone that contributed to today's episode of Current Sports. My production assistants, Alex Sharg and Matt Lucky. My intern, Mike Corey. My engineer, Aaron Young. Peter Worf, our station manager here at WKAR. Our guest, Bob Every, a legend in the world of sports here in Lansing. Tomorrow, we continue our State of Boxing series. Thanks for tuning in, folks. Same time, same place tomorrow. You've been listening to Current Sports with me, Al Martin, on WKAR AM 870 East Lansing.
This is Current Sports from AM 870 WKAR.